Welcome back to our final segment on the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Paul Brubaker, Administrator at the Research and Innovative Technology Administration, or RITA, within the U.S. Department of Transportation. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is John Nyland. Paul, transitioning now to the future, could you give us a sense of some of the key trends that will impact the U.S. transportation system in, say, the next 3 to 5 years?
Sure, I'd be delighted to. One is the financing of the infrastructure. That is going to be very, very critical going forward. As I mentioned before, you know, as we move to alternative fuel vehicles, of plug-in hybrids, of battery-powered vehicles, the traditional source of funding, the Highway Trust Fund, is going to be really significant. So we're going to have to be very, very innovative, irrespective of who wins the next political contest for president. We're going to have to be very, very creative in how we address these things long term. Energy efficiency is going to be a key issue. Environmental stewardship. Congestion is just going to continue to affect freight and passenger modes. And we are really focused on those three areas in terms of what we're going to do in terms of innovation, new technology going forward. The other one, of course, is intelligent transportation systems, which enables, you know, really kind of all three of those areas. For example, you know, some of the things that we're doing with transponder technology can really impact, people can be contributing to the transportation infrastructure through user fees that are mileage based. And that's an intelligent transportation system application that will help us address some of the funding issues that we've got with the gas taxes. People begin to use less gasoline. Again, you know, ITS impacting energy efficiency, as I mentioned before. Also, the alt fuels and the alternative fuels and hydrogen and battery-powered vehicles are going to be pretty significant in terms of energy efficiency and environmental stewardship, and finally get us off, you know, sources of oil where we buy from people who don't particularly care for us or our way of life. And then, again, you know, ITS really will play a role in reducing congestion.
Paul, on a broader basis, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges your organization will encounter in the future, and how do you envision RITA will evolve over the next few years to meet them?
Well, the first thing, of course, is just people. The people that we hire, the people that we can attract, the people that we can bring on board and get folks interested and involved in sort of that whole transportation research world. I mean, how do we attract the best and the brightest is definitely a challenge that that we're looking at from an organizational perspective. The other piece is really accommodating the velocity of the of technology. I mean, you know, Moore's Law is alive and well in the technology arena, and named for Gordon Moore, the former chairman of Intel, and it basically says that, you know, the computing capacity doubles every 18 months and the price gets cut in half. Well, you know, accommodating sort of long range strategic plans in a governmental organization that's really, you know, sort of born out of the industrial age in an information age environment is always going to be a challenge. And the research community, you know, as we sort of lay out 2, 3, 4, 5 year research plans, we've got to understand that they need to be flexible enough to adjust. And that's going to be a challenge to not just our organization as RITA, but as DOT and as the United States government as a whole tries to take, you know, sort of its industrial age structure and achieve information age results.
So, Paul, you've had a very successful and extensive career within the public service. What advice might you give someone who perhaps is thinking about a career in public service?
I would just encourage them to do it and to be patient. The reason why I say be patient is, it's very getting a job in the U.S. federal government, particularly if you've got a lot of talent, is hard relative to the other options that you have. The process is slow. It's somewhat cumbersome. You know, you still have to fill out an SF-171. You know, we haven't done a particularly good job of streamlining the hiring process for federal employees, whereas we're competing with the same people. Particularly when we're looking to achieve some of our hiring goals, we are often competing with the private sector, who can do on the spot hires of people who they, you know, recognize as being very talented and have the right resume for the job. I had a circumstance like this a few days ago where I was actually talking to somebody about potential joining the federal government. Person had a number of offers on the table, and I said, well, you know, you've got a great resume, you've got a great background, you'd be ideal for this, but I've got to have you. you know, you're going to have to go through a competitive process. And as much as we like you, you may not get this job. And that tends to that's frustrating for all parties. I mean, we've got a mission to achieve, and we've got to make sure that at least in the future, and this will be a problem for another administration, although, you know, I've definitely have some views about it, so I'd be happy to talk to whoever winds up getting the OPM job. But, you know, we've got to really streamline that process and make it a lot more agile and a lot more responsive to what the hiring realities are out there in the world. And there aren't jobs to be had, then, you know, the federal government is kind of, you know, the hirer. And it, you know, we can sort of look at our processes and say, yeah, that's fine. But and we're accomplishing the mission and being able to hire folks. But, you know, as I say this out on the road all the time, I said to work in the U.S. federal government at this point, you've either got to be incredibly dedicated or exceptionally incompetent, one of the two, to wade through that process and wait the kind of timeframes we're asking you to wait on in order to get hired. So I view that as a competitive disadvantage. But if somebody wants to work here, it's the best job in the world. I mean, there's nowhere else can you. And I go back to my days as a you know, relatively young GS-7 working at the U.S. General Accounting Office, and I think there is nothing better than that kind of an experience for a young person, or even somebody who's mid-career or thinking about a second career, to get involved and roll up your sleeves and really make a difference for the American taxpayer. There's nothing more rewarding than that.
That's wonderful. Paul, unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, John and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country, both in your roles at the DOD and now at the Department of Transportation.
Yeah, my pleasure. And if, you know, it's just been a delight to be here and talk about these things that are obviously pretty near and dear to us as we head out and we try to make a difference for the taxpayer. If anybody has any questions, I'm fairly easy to reach, paul.brubaker@dot.gov. And if you have any questions or comments or want to take a look at more about what we do, hitting our RETA website is a good place to do it. And Transportation Vision for 2030, which we talked about a lot, is actually on that site. So if you go to www.rita.dot.gov, you can access our website.
That's fantastic. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Paul Brubaker, Administrator at the Research and Innovative Technology Administration, or RETA, within the U.S. Department of Transportation. My co-host has been John Nyland, Managing Partner for IBM's Global Business Services in the public sector. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember our men and women of the armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.